Well, I'd like to pray real quick. Father, I ask you to open the eyes of our understanding and our hearts this day as we open your scriptures and we look at your word, as we see Jesus proclaiming the ways of the kingdom of heaven. Please help us, God, make an impact upon our heart. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Once again, we're in the Sermon of the Mount. This is part 16. And the subtitle, I guess, I'm going to entitle it The Golden Rule. God doesn't call it the Golden Rule, but it is known as the Golden Rule. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We've looked and we've brought up this verse before, and it's really interesting. So we're going to look at a couple more places where Jesus elaborates on this very thought. So, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22 next. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Gospel of Mark, please. The Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And in verse 28, we'll start. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus is... He is proclaiming the ways of the kingdom. Having proclaimed the thought that the law can be summed up this way is not completely and uniquely new. When we look at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, they are pretty much given in the negative. They're pretty much given in the negative. There's only two of the commandments that are given in the positive. And that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number four. And honor thy father and mother. Number five. All the rest of the commandments are given in the negative. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet. They're all proclaimed or given in the negative. There was a famous rabbi, Rabbi Hillel. He was the founder of the House of Hillel, which was one of the branches of theological study back in the day. You had the House of Hillel, and then you had the House of Shammai. But Hillel, as the story goes, he was being challenged by a potential convert to Judaism. And the challenge was this: can you summarize this law while standing on one foot? Now, I don't know about you, that would be a quick summary if it was me, because I'm not going to be able to stand on one foot for very long. And that was the gist of that. So Hillel responded in this way: that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. He summed up, and he said, and all the rest is commentary. Go and learn it. But he even proclaimed it, or gave it, or summarized it in the negative. As they were given, as we could look in Exodus 20, most of them, except for the fourth and fifth, are given in the negative. But Jesus Christ is uniquely projecting this, teaching this, instructing this. He's teaching it in the positive. Given in the negative, those things, that's the bare minimum. The bare minimum in the negative. But Jesus Christ elevates love. You see it time and time again where Jesus Christ elevates love. Where he elevates the law. He came not to destroy the law, but to cause it to abound. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments: to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments hang all of the law of the prophets. But you see, Jesus Christ elevated it because he's teaching it in the positive. He's presenting it in the positive. To do unto others as you would have them do to you. Now, when we see what Jesus Christ is doing here, he is not teaching love God so he will love you. And he's not teaching love your neighbor so he will love you. Or do good unto your neighbor so he will do good unto me. Jesus Christ isn't teaching this by condition. He's proclaiming, he's elevating it as love. Go so far as this: Jesus Christ also in the Sermon on the Mount says to love your enemy. To love your enemy. We don't love our enemy so that our enemy will love us. Jesus Christ just said, love your enemy. When we look at this, we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. 1 John 4, we heard this today. We love him, or we love, some texts read, because he first loved us. Our loving God has, loving God in obedience and in doing and in praise and in thanksgiving is not to get him to love us. He already has. Loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor, or doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, is not to get your neighbor, your fellow man, to love you. It's not conditional. It is the ways of the kingdom. That is how the kingdom, the standard of the kingdom. How about this? Love your enemies, you know, oh, I got to love my enemies so he will love me. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee of that. There's no guarantee of loving your neighbor or your brother in Christ. It's going to be returned in kind. It's not conditional. The reason why we love is because it's the ways of the kingdom, and this is how Jesus Christ is teaching it. When it says, love your enemy, oh, if we're really good to our enemy, then they'll be really good to us. That is not what Jesus is teaching. We can't put those kind of expectations on others. Jesus is teaching what we do, what we have in our heart. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, please, part of the Sermon of the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, when we'll look at that. Chapter 5, verse 44. Verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you see a condition for that? Do you see, is Jesus saying, love your enemies, bless them that curse you so that they will bless you, so that they will love you, so they'll do good to you, so they won't hate you? God bless you. No, it's simply love your enemies. And the why isn't so that they will love you. The why is this, verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sending rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others do? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, mature, complete, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There's the reason why we're supposed to love our enemies, not so that we'll get them to love us. There is no condition where we love our neighbor so that they will love us. We do good unto our neighbor so that they will do good unto us. It's not conditional. And I thought as I was going through this, as I was reading and pondering, sitting on the porch, thinking through this, I was thinking of the phrase, unconditional love. We've all heard that phrase. Unconditional love. It's love without a condition or without expecting a cause and effect. It's unconditional. Jesus Christ's teachings here are not Dale Carnegie, how to win friends and influence people. Jesus Christ's teaching here is not what one phrase you hear bounced around all over. You know, what goes around comes around. You know, what goes around comes around. Jesus is not teaching what goes around comes around. We can see this phrase, what goes around comes around, in Scripture in the book of Second Opinions. Second Opinions is not in the Bible. And neither is what goes around comes around in the Bible. Well, Jesus must be teaching karma here. You know, karma, where it's a cosmic law of cause and effect, where our actions and our words and our thoughts will dictate our future experiences, not only in the quote-unquote current life, but in the next. You find that in Buddhism and Hinduism and Jainism and Sikhism, but you do not find that in Christianity. You do not find that in the Bible. Praise God and thank God for His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. That's what we find in our Bible about living life, especially as Jesus is teaching the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom. Well, you know, it does say, as you sow, you shall reap. So we're going to go there. We're going to look at that. We're going to see what's the context. Well, you know, as you sow, you're going to reap. Let's see where that is said. And that is said in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Right before Ephesians. You got to Ephesians, you've gone too far. Galatians 6. And we'll start in verse 7. We'll read the whole section here. We'll see where this phrase, as you sow, you shall reap, is used. It's amazing how many secular people who do not have faith in God, who even reject God, who even are hostile toward God, will use many of the phrases in the Bible to fit their own use. So verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life everlasting. Do you see it's talking about what you're sowing? The seed? If you're sowing into the flesh, you're going to have what? Corruptible flesh. Corruption. You're sowing into the Spirit, life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The kingdom of heaven is not without reward. But what we do, the good that we do, is not to acquire something. It is the ways of the kingdom. It is the standard of heaven. You think about the Lord's Prayer. You think about how you would want on earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? Holiness. God. Right now, Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Do you think there's arm twisting in heaven? I think about what you were talking about the other day. Think about those seraphim who their job, their joy is to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It's not like, oh, I got to go to work today. I got to punch that clock because I got to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. No, man, it's what a privilege, what a joy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The earth is full of His glory. You know, that's the ways of the kingdom. So when we look at the quote-unquote golden rule, it is not we do good unto others that we would want done to ourselves so that they will do that back. If we go into that, if we go into our giving and our goodness and our, you know, if we're keeping score on the, I did this, I'm expecting this back, we're going to be quite disappointed. We're going to be quite disappointed, frustrated, and it's just not the truth. The good that we do is because this is one of the two great commandments upon which the whole law and the prophets is hung. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, he ups it even more where he says, excuse me, to love others as I have loved you. How did Jesus love? Was it conditional? Is that why Jesus died on the cross? So that we would love him? Is that the reason? That seems so shallow and so ridiculous, doesn't it? It's the same thing when it talks about us and our loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love him because he first loved us. God is love. Well, you know, God needs our love. No, he doesn't. God doesn't need anything. He's completely intact. He's a unique being. We love him because he first loved us. And we love each other because that's the ways of the kingdom. Because in loving one another, that commandment, we are loving our God in the doing of it. But he loved us first. It's not conditional. So when you hear that phrase, the unconditional love of God, it is unconditional love of God. But when we are to love, when the love of Christ constrains us to do God's will, when we thus judge in our hearts that if one died for all, then all were dead. When we see that, it's not a conditional thing for us. It's out of love and it's out of appreciation. It's out of thanksgiving. And it's out of God moving first in his Son, Jesus Christ. So this is not Dale Carnegie. This is not what goes around comes around. This is not karma. Karma. Got to watch out for karma. You know where karma lives. He's down the right. Karma. No. Boy, when you look at that stuff, you look what the world has to offer, you see how far below the elevated love of God is and the elevated teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you want to call it the golden rule, yeah, but don't stick in that the conditions. You know the golden rule, I love you so you'll love me. I scratch your back so you scratch my... No, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. So when we approach this, we see, you know, how high the things of God are. How high, utterly great, elevated the love of God is. And it's not so we can twist someone's arm so that we can get something now. So that we can lay up, well, I did this good, so I'm waiting for my good to come. It's just doing good, and especially under the household of faith, and to love one another. To love one another. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love one another as we would want to be loved, with no conditions, but because Christ taught it, and he taught it here in the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Amen.